There is a direct connection between spiritual belief and mental health. And could it be that the most foundational element of the Christian faith could solve a host of mental health issues?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. This one right here.
This one
is going to be great. And one that I think is, it's one that I'm super excited for because of the relevance that it has and the weight that it carries, I think, as well. The whole idea of trust and mental health is obviously very on fire right now. Mm-hmm. And so we want to address that. But I want to thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can go ahead and like this video, subscribe to our channel, because we've got podcasts coming out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., and if you ring the bell there whenever you subscribe, you actually get notifications whenever we post, so you can stay up to date with what's going on. So you should share this with some people, and I want to hear your thoughts. So comment down below as well about mental health and trust.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bible has a lot to say about mental health and spiritual life. They are connected.
Yeah.
And I know it's popular in contemporary culture to compartmentalize and pull faith away from the rest of life and say faith really has only a small aspect to, or a small component of relationship to mental health, emotional health, physical health.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm having to believe, based on what the scripture says, there's more of a connection than perhaps we have allowed or believed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about one of the most foundational elements to faith and see its connection to mental health. Mm-hmm. And that element is trust. It's a part of the Christian walk. It's what it means to follow Jesus. If you've been around the Christian faith for a while, you remember a song, a hymn, Trust and Obey. It's a very, very foundational hymn, 50s, 60s, 70s, or even traditional churches today that still sing it, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Nice.
So,
and if you listen to contemporary music today, you know Elevation.
Oh,
as I trust in God.
Yeah, there you go. There's
so
new
it's
one.
A theme that is still...
Yeah.
That's
true. That's good. Yeah, trust is, it's a big deal, and mental health comes as a result of trust. We're going to attempt to build that bridge today. I think it's all there, so we'll go there. Let's talk about maybe a definition to begin with of mental health. What are we talking about? We're not talking about the absence of struggles.
Yeah.
Because life will have struggle to it. In this life, we will face troubles, and Jesus even said in this life we will face persecution as we follow him. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be pressure. There's going to be conflict. Mm-hmm. There's going to be loss from time to time. There's going to be rejection.
Yeah.
There's going to be pain. Mm-hmm. We're not always going to be loved. We're not always going to be liked. And so Jesus doesn't offer the absence of issues, but he offers something that brings hope in the midst of the issue. So if we're talking about mental health, we're talking about not the absence of problems, but the presence of peace, of hope, confidence. And I'll use some terms that Christian and non-Christian counselors and therapists would use. They would say that mental health is a sense of well-being or a positive view of life, a hopeful view of life, an awareness that I am well and I have a good hope toward tomorrow. I think that's kind of some basic definitions of mental health, a sense of well-being.
Yeah. Again, not just mentally neutral, not just...
Correct.
Well, things aren't bad right now. You know, or I'm not really that sad, you know, but on the positive side of things, mentally healthy, mentally flourishing, mentally thriving, all that kind of stuff. So I'll talk about some indicators of good mental health or positive. Again, that idea of having a positive view of life. So some of the indicators of good mental health is the feelings of joy, confidence, and being hopeful. Again, looking beyond just today and thinking optimistically, positively about the future as well.
Right.
That's a sign you have good mental health. Some others, you're feeling connected to others, that you are experiencing relationships with other people. people.
Yeah.
You know? And at a deeper level, not just only surface, I'm around people, but I'm connected to them as
right,
well.
Right.
And that you have a sense of purpose and of meaning. And again, you're flourishing in your mm-hmm. life. It's not shallow. It's not, mm-hmm. Life's purposeless and all this stuff, but
yeah.
I'm going somewhere, doing something with my life. That's an indicator of
yep.
good mental health. You yep. are able to cope with even daily life ups and downs, mm. you know, and you're able to process your feelings, process your emotions yep. With hardships and with good things happening in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not just feelings. It is also my mental, my thought processes yeah. about the things I'm going through.
Yeah, exactly.
And they lead me to mm-hmm. a good place.
Yeah. and mental health and emotional health are very tied in, close together.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can, mm-hmm. you know, kind of go on all of that as well. But right. so another indicator of good mental health is, you know, you're setting and achieving goals as well. Mm-hmm. Again, you have a vision in mind. You have a goal. You've got yep. hopes. You've got things you want to see done.
Yep.
And so those are indicators that you are mentally healthy. You're sticking to routines. You're enjoying life.
Yep.
Even if times are hard and you do have pain, you do have rejection, you're still able to get over that.
Yeah.
So those are all indicators of good mental health.
Yeah, that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
You want to be in that spot.
And sadly, that is not as popular as this next list, which is indicators of a lack of mental health, or right. you could say a mental illness. You could say a mental dis-ease. You could yep. say
emotional dis-ease.
All that stuff.
That, yeah.
that is now mentally negative. Again, not just right. mentally neutral, but mentally negative. So yep. indicators of a lack of mental health is that mm-hmm. you have feelings often of being yeah. anxious or worried. It is just a continual mm-hmm. like theme of your day to day, your week to week, your month to month, is that I'm continually on edge, worried about what's ahead, worried about what's mm-hmm. behind me, worried about those around me. I'm anxious, you know, and everything's just like ready to break at any moment's notice.
Yep.
That is a lack of mental health. And
yep.
then you're also feeling depressed. You're feeling burnt out. You're feeling exhausted.
Mm.
You have no energy.
Mm-hmm.
You feel down. You feel dark. Those are examples of a lack of mental health. You have emotional outbursts. You don't sleep well. You don't eat well.
Mm-hmm.
You're overly quiet. You're withdrawn. You have substance abuse. You're tired and so fed up with everything that you're thinking about just ending it all.
Yeah.
That is all indicators of a lack of mental health, and that is rampant today.
Yeah. And I think whether you were going to a Christian therapist or counselor or secular mm-hmm. Christian or secular counselor or therapist, they would say that those are the indicators of a lack of real emotional mental health. There's mm-hmm. something that's amiss here. There's something that's not yeah. well.
Yeah, something's going on. Something has gone on
yeah.
and something needs to be addressed.
Yeah. And you would find, if you did some Googling and some researching and some reading, you would find that counselor, therapist alike across the board would say that one of the sources or the reasons for a lack of mental health is when there has been broken trust, mm. when there's a lack of yeah. trust. And it's an interesting connection there between those two. Jesus would even talk about in the great commandment, you know, he sums up all of the law and he sums up mm-hmm. everything of what we're called to. He says, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So here is the calling, but also really the ability to have health all throughout who you are, your emotions, your mm-hmm. mind, your heart, your drive, your passions. This is where real health comes from. And when that is missing, when there is broken trust, there is most often following that, the situation or the setting for diseased thoughts and emotions that are at dis-ease. So interesting thing about trust is that it's just a part of all of our lives. It's a necessity for all of our lives, I guess we mm-hmm. should say, because we all have to demonstrate it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I have to trust in some things. I'm trusting in this chair right now to keep holding me yeah. up. I'm trusting my car is going to start when I get in it. You know, I'm trusting it to take me down the road. I'm trusting in people. I'm trusting in some things in my life. We all do. It's part of living life because we are finite beings. Mm-hmm. You know, I am, and you, every person is at some point has to trust other circumstances or people in our life because I can't know all things. So therefore I have to trust someone else who tells me some things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't do all things. So I have to trust some other people to do some things mm-hmm. that I can't do. I can't be everywhere. So I have to trust that someone else is there. I mm-hmm. can't control everything.
Yeah.
So I have to trust something mm-hmm. somewhere. I put my trust that it will all be okay. And if you're talking about a definition of trust, then you're even talking about this idea of being able to lean into and give a sense of confidence toward someone or something. Mm-hmm. I put my confidence in this. I know it is dependable. I know it is strong. I know it is dependable. I can put my trust, mm-hmm. my confidence in it. And we all look to people in our lives and institutions for that to happen. We all, at some point, wanted to trust our parents, put our trust in our parents. We have to trust in an employer, a boss. You trust in the store that you shop in, that they're going to mm-hmm. do right by you, that meat is actually going to be good mm-hmm. when you buy it. We have to put our trust in the police officer, government as much as we can, a spouse. We want to trust our spouse, coworkers, the insurance provider, healthcare providers, family, employees. Mm-hmm. If you have employees, you want to trust your church that you attend, a counselor, trust friends, trust your banker, trust a pastor, trust your therapist. There's a lot that we put our trust into, and you want all of those things to be trustworthy as much as possible. And you find out one of them is not, you shift to find another one. You know, if the pastor of the church you're attending is not trustworthy, then you start looking for another pastor in church. Or if the bank you go to is not trustworthy, you start looking for another bank. And sadly, and the reality is that at some point, we've all experienced broken trust yeah. in some of these areas.
Yeah. And the thing that's really tough is majority of the institutions or the things in your life that you put your trust into is
mm-hmm.
often in the authoritative role over you.
Right. It's true.
It's often in a position that has like some sway
mm-hmm.
or has like weight to their words and yeah. you want to trust in something bigger than you.
Yep.
Right? You want to trust in something that goes beyond you, that yeah. that knows more than you, like we've been yeah. talking about. Or you have your trust in those who are in the closest relations to you.
Yep.
You know, like in parents, siblings, you know, your spouse, all that kind of stuff. You know,
yeah.
like you want to trust those closest to you and those in authority over you.
Yeah.
And sadly, whenever those people you want to trust the most break that trust mm-hmm. or, you know, distrust is developed in you through, mm-hmm. you know, experiences, it can be, I would say, like literally catastrophic, you know,
can be.
Whenever you have a general distrust for all authority and a general distrust towards all those close to you.
Yeah.
You will not have mental health if that's the case.
Yeah. Broken trust leads to the potential for some real mental mm-hmm. disruption.
Yeah.
Emotional disruption. Yeah.
Which I think you could even go as far to say, like, if you don't trust those around you and you don't trust those in charge of you, you will not be mentally healthy.
Yeah. That's true.
Will have mental dis-ease.
Yeah. I mean, it is where anxiety and bitterness, resentment, distrust, all that comes from. You're hurt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to the degree that you've been hurt, that broken trust becomes even larger, mm-hmm. you know, to the point where a woman might say, well, I've been so hurt by men in my life, I don't trust men, period.
Period. Yeah.
There's some mental, emotional struggles that yeah. come to play there because yeah. of broken trust.
Yeah. I was so hurt by this church leader.
Yes.
I'm done with all church, period.
Yes.
Right. I'm done with the faith.
Right.
Period.
Yeah. And those produce disruption inside. And we've all experienced at some point some kind of broken trust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like
every person has.
Some have and some have not. It's more of to the degree you have or you have mm-hmm. not. And mm-hmm. I just listed some 15 to 20 potential yep. sources where a trust is placed. Yeah. And my guess is everybody along the way has experienced some kind of broken yeah. trust with those.
Yeah.
And everybody, I mean, let's just go ahead and level the playing field here. Yeah. Everybody at some point has experienced some mental or emotional
dis-ease.
It's not, they're not at ease.
Uh-huh.
I know panic attacks. I know mm-hmm. anxiety. I know depression. I've walked in all those. Mm-hmm. I know the feelings of bitterness and resentment and wanting to get revenge. I know all those feelings. We all, mm-hmm. everybody does at some point. And broken trust is often where those begin. They become the soil mm-hmm. that mental and emotional unhealth exists. So I think the real question is, we've kind of leveled the playing field now. The question is, well, now what do we do about that? If that's mm-hmm. something that happens to everyone, if everyone at some point has known hurt and insecurity and anxiety and depression and being withdrawn and bitter and overly yeah. sensitive and feeling triggered. If we've known all of those things, what do we do?
Yeah.
That's the real question.
Exactly.
And I think this is where now, from this point forward in the conversation at least, we're going to see this path split.
It's hard, yep.
Because there will be those who are non-Christian, non-biblical counselors who will have an answer mm-hmm. for this. But then there is a Christian message. There's a Bible message. There's a biblical answer that will be different mm-hmm. than those of this, the secular, non-biblically based counselor, therapist, or even church at times. And that's important to recognize the two differences mm-hmm. today.
Yeah, and one side, the non-Christian side, most often is going to be, well, let's talk about your pain. Let's talk about mm-hmm. what caused that hurt, and then let's relive it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it, and let's split hairs over it, and let's figure out, why did it hurt you, you know? And it's like, that's not helping anything.
No, just analyzing yeah. doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah.
And then just
other than just probably being more frustrated and
yeah.
more, you know,
right.
You might understand it better, but you're still more and more frustrated.
Yeah, finding the root. It's nice.
Yeah.
Dig down in the soil. Yep. There's the root.
There it is. All right.
But if you don't have an answer for what you do now,
yeah,
that's exactly. different.
So the Christian message is different, and it is to acknowledge first that there is pain and broken trust in this life and in your life.
Yeah.
You know, that is, like we've been saying, it is normal that will happen because yeah. that is the world in which we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
all authority is good and right and true and just right. all the time.
Yep.
Not all close friends or family are always good, right, true, and just all the time.
Right.
So from the get-go, we are set into a world that we will have our trust broken.
Yep.
It's almost like we would need something greater to help us with
that's
that,
true.
Right? Because yep. the second thing
yeah.
is that we as Christians acknowledge there is a God who is greater than this life.
Yeah.
Who is bigger, who is stronger, who is all good, who is mm-hmm. all present, who is all knowing,
mm-hmm.
who is over our lives. He is mm-hmm. the author, he's the creator of our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also that we acknowledge there is a God who understands and has felt what we have felt as well with broken trust. You know, Jesus taking on the form of man
mm-hmm.
came and experienced like all of his friends
mm-hmm.
departing from him. Right?
It's true.
Broken trust right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that there's a God who sympathizes with us.
Yeah.
And he knows us. And
yeah.
he's written our stories, right?
Yeah.
And there's a God who even more so than sympathizes, he has overcome all of those things, right? And that same God invites us to come to him to get a new heart, a new being, a new life, a new perspective on things. And then the most important and crucial part of all of this is that he invites us to trust in him.
Yeah.
He says, I know you've experienced brokenness and mistrust, distrust from all sorts of people, But he says, look at my faithfulness. Look at my track record.
Yeah.
Look at story after story after story. I've been faithful. I've been good. I've been true. I've been just. I've been right. You can put all of your trust, go all the way in on me, and I won't fail you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. No human being can provide that at all.
Yeah.
As much as someone might promise that, like nobody's business, they're lying to you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah, and the Bible says, you know, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us.
Yeah.
We have a person in heaven who was, as the Bible says in the same verse, was tempted in all points just as we were.
Yep.
So he does know. He does understand.
Mm-hmm.
He is real, and he invites us to trust him.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it's not because he promises to remove all struggle, pain, and heartbreak and all this kind of stuff and loss. It doesn't say that's why you should trust in me because your life's just going to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. After this. No, you can trust in me because I am the one who is faithful always. You know, I will never, ever fail, right? He's not just a source, not just doctrine to adhere to, but this is a person that we trust. This is Jesus that we trust. This is the Savior of us that we trust. And it's, again, not just any person, but it is the one literally seated on the throne over all creation. He is the King of Kings that invites us to have a relationship with
him. It's good. It's so good. Yeah, so again, just to kind of put all this back into points that we can all, I think, stand on, we were made to trust. We have to, at some point, we have our trust land somewhere. We live in a world where it's going to be broken. Whenever it is broken, it's the potential then for emotional and mental dis-ease. But there is a place where our trust is meant to land. We have to trust because we're made for that. And we have a Savior, we have a Redeemer, we have a High Priest in heaven who invites us to trust in Him. So let's look at some scripture verses that put these two things together, this idea of trust and mental health. We're going to look at just a few today, but the Bible is full of them.
Yeah.
But here's one. We'll start with Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So here already we find some language pieces. Here's a verse talking about peace. That's a mental, emotional issue. Our mind, that's the place, the location for mental and emotional health. And then trust. And all of that centered around a person. You, God, will keep him, me, in perfect mental health, flourishing mental health, when my mind is stayed on you. We're going to see this theme throughout all these verses today. We're not invited to a prescription, a plan, a process.
Yeah. Do these five things.
Yeah.
You will have perfect peace.
We're invited to a person. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You know, what's fascinating, if you go into the original language, Hebrew of this, it says in English, you will keep him in perfect peace. If you look in the Hebrew, It's a repetition of the same word. It's a double word to get stronger meaning. Really what it says is you will keep him in shalom, shalom. Extra peace, confident peace, blessed peace, exponential peace, shalom, shalom to you, whose mind is stayed on you. Interesting wording there. It's the words that mean to have your initial thoughts, like when you begin to think something, and you're beginning to piece together ideas and truths and opinion. He says, God will give to you shalom, shalom, when your initial thoughts are stayed on him. They're fixed. Mm-hmm. He's the first. He's the go-to thought. And then you build your thoughts around the fact that you trust in him. And then you get confidence and peace in your mind. There's the bridge. It puts it all together. Mental and emotional health come from God, and it comes from the process of trusting, relying on him.
Yeah, that's so good.
We can stop on that verse alone.
Seriously.
It's all there.
And that word shalom, like, it's not just like peace. Oh, wow, how nice is everything? But it's the idea of whole being, literally your whole person at rest and then in turn flourishing from that.
It's true.
It is not just like, okay,
well, yeah,
that's crazy. But it's like, wow, now my whole being can rest and I can take a step forward. That's shalom. That's what is wrapped up in that word.
You know? It's not an offer to drink this, smoke this, eat this, and you will find greater, you know, spaced out feelings for a momentary
for a time, and then it'll go
set
away.
Of time.
Exactly.
Here's something much deeper that settles into your soul.
So good. And,
penetrates into your mind as
exactly.
a
result. Yeah. So he does become the place we trust, like this verse says, when we can't trust our circumstances, when we are overwhelmed, you know, when we don't know which way to go. And all
or how it's going to turn out.
Exactly. Yes.
What the test result is going to prove.
Yep. Exactly. He becomes the place we trust when people have mistreated us, when we have been hurt, mm-hmm. or when the government is in opposition to us. Mm-hmm. He becomes the person we trust in when our feelings are all over the place and we don't have a sense of steadiness, security, when we can't control what's happening or what's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Or when there is just total chaos in your life. He is the person we trust, and that actually restores your mental health, and that actually makes your mental health flourish.
Yeah.
Not just moves you to neutral, but it moves you to positive, right? Mental health.
And it doesn't change the circumstances.
Yeah. Sadly, yes, that's the truth.
It's correct, but it does something in me in the midst of the circumstances.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
good.
So another powerful verse is from Psalm 118, verse 8. And it's interesting. You'll find many of these in the Psalms, which are, again, songs written by people in the midst of, often in the chaos, writing about their trust in God. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Mm. And everybody would say, yep.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
As much as you want to put your full trust in a person, it's just not wise. There are people, you know, that are seeking to be reputable and have integrity, and we can put a measure of trust in them, but you cannot put your full confidence in anybody. You can't. You have to put your trust. And that's why the psalmist writes and says it's better to trust in the Lord, the person, than to put your confidence in man, because man at times will fail, will be weak, will not say the thing you were hoping they were going to say, will not do the thing you were expecting them to do.
Yeah.
And if your full expectation is that no one will ever hurt or disappoint you, you're setting yourself up for a bad place. You've put your trust in a wrong spot.
Exactly. Because the Bible is filled with stories and stories and stories about individuals, families, even nations who, you know, they are faced with people who are untrustworthy and, you know, terrible to them.
Yep.
And so, like, you think of the stories like Joseph in the Old Testament, rejected by his brothers, you know, that's a terrible place to be, you know.
Yeah,
you may have put confidence in others around you.
Yeah, your own brothers
gone.
Should be able to trust them.
Exactly.
They sell you off into slavery and tell your dad you died.
Yeah, exactly. Israel being attacked by nations, David standing before Goliath, the prophets being rejected, John the Baptist being hated, rejected, killed, Stephen being martyred, and Jesus, again, despised, rejected, even unto his death.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like,
right.
Our confidence cannot be in men, but it has to. It is better, as it says, to trust in the Lord. It is a better thing by far. So,
Each of those examples, and many others in the Bible, they had people and circumstances they could have leaned into and said, "Oh, they're always going to be here for me.
Look how good they have
this.
Been.
Will never that would never happen to me." But it does.
Yeah.
And the invitation of Scripture is to trust in the one who alone has said he will never leave us or forsake us. He will always be faithful. You've got to have a place for your trust to land. You have the need for it. We all do. It is what brings us mental health, is a place where I can land my trust. And the Bible offers us, Jesus offers us the place for that trust to land in him. And it's not in anyone else. It's not in any circumstance, but it's in him alone. And the Bible is even so relevant that it talks about even situations where you might be in a employer situation. And you think, well, I want to be able to trust where I work. I want to trust my boss. I want to trust my company. Well, you can to some degree, but the Bible is going to offer us, again, a different level of trust, another place that will lead to much greater mental and emotional health. Colossians 3 will say, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Okay, so here's a shift right away. And he says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Paul would go on in another set of verses and talk about us not being those who live to please men, but those who live to please Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the same idea. I'm going to shift my trust. I'm going to serve some people, but I'm ultimately serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm going to trust some people in my life, but very loosely, but I'm going to put my full trust in the one who reigns over all. That leads to much greater mental health.
Yeah.
Because then when you hurt and disappoint me, I didn't have all my anchor wasn't resting in you.
Exactly. Yeah.
My worth wasn't resting in you.
Exactly.
All my expectations weren't resting in you.
No.
So.
And that way, if someone lets you down, it is not the end of the world.
Right.
Because it's like my anchor is beyond individuals. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you should still trust those who are closest to you, and you should trust authorities, you know, as they prove themselves faithful in that regard as well, not just blindly trust. But we can trust others because of we are rooted in the steadfast love of God.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Let's look at another verse from the Psalms, and this one walks right up into the idea and reality of anxiety and fear, and which is so very good. Real in this day and time. And because circumstances are changing, and places and people and institutions that we once held great confidence in are changing. Groups around us that you once could trust, that's changing. And so I get it. The anxiety, the unrest in the soul today is very real. The Bible never dismisses that.
Mm-hmm.
It never calls us to deny it, that it's real, that it happened. We're not told to ignore it. Instead, the Bible has this to say, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. There's the connection again between spiritual faith and mental health. When I am in the position and heart, emotion, mindset of fear, whenever I am overwhelmed at all of the negative what-ifs out there, I can trust in the one who reigns over the what-ifs. Mm. And that's what we're told, and that's what we're invited to.
Yeah.
We're not scolded to do this.
Yeah,
we're invited to do this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like we're invited to trust in him and to lean into his love in the times of anxiety, when we're terrified, when we are disturbed, when things have happened, when there's been trauma or whatever, you know, and even down to the day-to-day stuff, you know, when you're afraid of what tomorrow holds, you're afraid of, you know, whatever's ahead, I will put my trust in you. That is where I am sinking my roots down deep is in you. You know, it's that he is the place to rest, right? He is where we find shalom as well.
Shalom.
Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. To find security in his hand over us, over, you know, all of the things happening, that it's him who reigns. And that is where we have confidence. Like that is why we can walk confidently, is because we can trust him even when we are afraid.
Yeah. Whenever I am walking in unhealth, I will find my health in you.
So
is basically
exactly
what's the psalmist, what David is writing here.
Yeah.
And he experienced all that. He went through terrifying circumstances. He said, when I was in that moment, I learned to shift the place that I trusted, the place I looked to for my confidence, not in me, not in people around me, not in the circumstances, but in you, Lord, that you reign over all. One more psalm, and to me, this is perhaps maybe the most significant of the ones we're looking at today, because this idea of mental and emotional health It comes from deep places within us. And God offers us a place to trust at the deepest parts of who we are. Not just circumstantial, not just temporary, but at the deepest parts of who we are. So Psalm 13:5 says, I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. So here is this connection between trust and the heart of God. My heart and the heart of God. My heart and salvation, the rescue. So mental health comes from our self-perception. I think secular psychologists and therapists would say that. And here is God offering us a change in our own perception of ourself. Not to trick us, not to just give us another way to look at it, but an actual change in our identity. That by trusting Him, putting our trust in Him, loving Him, repenting of our sin, turning to Him, trusting Him, He actually gives us a new heart, a new mind, a new way of seeing Him and ourselves. And this produces greater mental health. It's when people don't have an accurate self-perception that there is a lack of mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. Because those outside the faith, particularly, are looking to and are being encouraged. They're being told this is how you find your identity. It's through your feelings. It's through what urges you have sexually. It's through what people think about you. Mm-hmm. It's based on your talents and it's you know, your hurts. That is who you are, right? And that is how you figure out your identity. It is all outside trying to find out who you are inside, right? Based on things that have happened, things you do, things that people think you should do. That would be then who you are, rather than God literally offers an internal change, an internal identity that works itself outward. Like literally the most opposite you can get, you know?
It's just, it's tragic. You have counselors and therapists today encouraging people to explore the worst thoughts that they've ever had.
Yeah.
And then to own them as though that is them. Whatever wrong urge you've had, whatever horrific temptation you've ever experienced, to lean into that and discover that is to be who you are. I mean, every one of us have wrong urges every day.
Yeah.
But the Christian faith is one that says, wait a minute, that's not who I am.
My urges,
I am not my worst urge. I am a child of God because I put my faith in Christ. I will be tempted and I will have my flesh rise up from time to time, but that is not who I am. But here is a market today of therapists and counselors telling people to explore the worst of thoughts and feelings and urges and then own them.
Yeah.
And it's not helping.
Yeah.
It's leading people to worse mental and emotional health.
Whew. I was going to say, you hear all of that stuff and then you see stats like among 15 to 24-year-olds, suicide is the leading cause of death. And you're going, huh, I wonder if there's correlation there.
Yes.
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 There is. Between being encouraged and even told, this is who you are. this is your ceiling, you know? Like, this is the highest you can go because of what has happened to you or because your thoughts, your feelings, or whatever, you know?
Right.
And then, again, of those who attempted suicide and who have committed suicide, it's those who are at the greatest risk are those who are sexually confused and are questioning their gender identity and sexual identity and stuff. That is the riskiest group for suicide.
It's true.
And it is literally being encouraged by secular psychologists today.
Yep. And non-biblically based counselors are pushing in that direction. They're calling people or encouraging people to trust in themselves.
Yeah.
Trust in that worst urge. Trust in that that sexual deviant feeling. Trust in whatever it is. whatever that desire is, trust in that. Then they wonder why there is a lack of mental health, and then there is often suicide. Now, sadly, within that community, they will point to people like us as the reason that they're taking their lives.
Yeah,
it's because we are not accepting them of their urges.
Exactly,
we're offering another way to hope in life, and it's sad because what you find by just turning inward to your worst desires, you don't find a place to trust. You find only greater darkness and difficulty and confusion. And Jesus offers life for those who are stuck in that place to come out and have a place, a person to trust in, where you can have all of the guilt that you've experienced, all of the shame that has happened to you, the worst things that have happened to you, all the broken relationships, all the trust issues that you've experienced, all of those, you can reach beyond those and find in the one who sits on the throne in heaven, one you can trust. You can trust that he loves you. You can trust that he'll forgive you. You can trust that he understands you. You can trust that he can make you new. You can trust that he will draw you close. You can trust that he will be intimate with you. You can trust in him. Now that's life.
Yeah. That's game.
Yeah. And my heart shall rejoice in your salvation because I trust in your mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. That's mental health. That's emotional health.
Yeah.
Coming from spiritual faith. One more passage, and this one deals with the idea of trust as it relates to moving forward in life.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's really what it takes. For someone to walk forward, to take the next step, to try a new venture, to begin a new relationship, to move to the next stage in life, it requires trust, not in yourself, not always in the people around you, but in something bigger than you, trust in God. If you don't have that, if you don't have that place of trust, then what you have is anxiety and fear, which keeps you from moving forward. If you don't have it, then you end up staying triggered all the time, and therefore you have to isolate, and then you have to be, then you end up being hypersensitive, and then you stay isolated, and you pull away from anyone for fear of what could happen to you. You can't even move forward, and into all of that, the Bible speaks, the Lord speaks, and he says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord, there it is, back to a person, with all your heart, with all the components and the pieces and the hurts and the heartaches and the loss, and lean not on your own understanding about what tomorrow is, about circumstances, about people. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge you'll trust in him, and he shall direct your path. So here's this connection between trust and your ability to see the future. Here is, if you'll trust in this one, this Yahweh Lord, then he will open the path for you. You will see it clearly. You'll find you can have rest and you can have trust. He'll unlock perspective. He'll unlock hope. He'll unlock direction for you. Man, that's the kind of mental health you want.
Yeah, exactly.
It comes from trust.
And the fact that we are invited to that as well, we are that is the open invitation to us, you know, and it is a person to trust in, right? To let go of every place that we might normally trust, all the way to the core of who we think, like, our understanding knows best, you know? We can determine what's right and wrong and all that stuff. To let go of even that, of what we can comprehend, understand, and plan for, but we're invited to lean all the way into him and in his plan and his ways, his character. We're invited to acknowledge him in every single part of our life and to do so with confidence and not like, well, I guess I don't have anything
else
to do. Yeah, exactly. Might as well. I've tried other things, so I guess. But to confidently lean into him, even when everything might be stacked against you in doing so, but you lean into him and you say, I trust you more than I trust what I can comprehend, more than I can trust what I know, you know. It's so good.
Yeah. And it gives you that confidence up against whatever the circumstances. The winds and waves might be blowing. Okay.
Yeah.
Giant may be standing in my path. Okay. I'm not trusting in my ability to take down the giant alone. Mm-hmm. I'm not trusting mm-hmm. in that wind and that wave. I'm not trusting
yeah.
because the enemy is surrounding me. I'm trusting in one who's greater than that. Exactly. I've got to trust so beyond good. All of that. Even though the devil himself is against me and threatening me,
yeah.
I don't care. I've yeah. got to trust in someone who says that the gates so of hell good. Will not prevail exactly. against me, that so no weapon good. Formed against me will prosper.
Yeah.
That's where trust comes alive. Yeah. And you tell me, is that not emotional and mental health?
That's what I was about to say. You tell me, does that change your mind or not?
yeah.
That will change the way you think, oh, the way man. You feel, and your physical demeanor.
Yeah, exactly.
It will change you.
And this is what we're invited to in Christ. So is there a connection between mental health and spiritual faith? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And the deeper you dive into full-hearted surrender and trust in Christ, the more you will experience full-hearted mental and emotional health, healthier lifestyle. Woo. Well,
so good.
This is classic podcast material for us yeah. here. This is classic vertical. This is faith coming into the realities of life. This yeah. is faith entering so into all the intricacies of heart, even emotional and mental issues. And so it's our prayer. This has been encouraging to you, helpful yeah. to you. This is the kind of Lord that invites us to himself to chase after with our full heart. And he promises to give us peace through Jesus Christ because of redemption we have in him. So come join us in person at Vertical, see what God's doing here, and meet some other folks who are experiencing that same kind of healthier life in Christ because they trust in him. So thanks for joining us as we keep lifting him up and living him out.